week hiatus from Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10 this morning. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 10. It's good to see the Back Row Club representing back there. And if you haven't met my new grandson, it's the perfect trifecta of chaos on this aisle. But it's a good chaos. It's not his fault. Not yet. That's just a timing thing more than anything else. It's good to see y'all here this morning. Hey, in Romans chapter 10, it's almost like this switch, if you will. We went in Romans chapter 9, if you guys remember, we spent a few weeks in Romans chapter 9, kind of talking, if you will, about the sovereignty of God and how sometimes that's just a hard concept to wrap your head around. There's multiple perspectives about that, but it's about God finishing what he started in you. God finishing the work that has been started in you. We can get hung up in the weeds and spend a tremendous amount of time talking about predestination and talking about the things that oftentimes have a tendency to muddle our mind. And then we get into Romans chapter 10, and it's almost like Paul switches and saying, all right, now that we understand that God is sovereign and that God's got this, now we're going to talk about man's responsibility in all of this. And it seems like in every chapter that we hit in Romans, there's going to be some conflict that y'all have experienced, seen. And oftentimes the conflict isn't with Christians in the outside world, it's within Christians within the body. Oftentimes is where the conflict is at. And sometimes that is frustrating for us because in the reality of life, I used to think this when I was a teenager. I used to think, man, it's just like the world against me, and everybody thinks or feels or believes differently, and how does all this work together? And I want, you guys have heard me say this in class, when I've taught class in the past, that I kind of hold to this. There's two concepts that I want to kind of start with this morning to set the table. But number one, do you believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God and that it all works in harmony with itself? I think that's an important place to start, because if you can't start there, a lot of the stuff that we deal with in Scripture is going to get dissected and split apart, and all of a sudden it's not going to work together. I believe that God's Word is inspired. I also believe that it's not in contradiction with itself, that it flows together, and we get information from different texts, and things kind of flow together with God's Word. I believe that to be true. And so as we start into Romans chapter 10, I'll get to the second thing here in just a minute, but as we start in Romans chapter 10, again, this is kind of Paul switching gears a little bit from the sovereignty of God, this predestination mindset of being called or being the elect. And Paul starts off with, my brothers, my heart, desire, and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Isn't it interesting that we just spent 2 weeks on a chapter that talks about God's elect, and we start questioning, well, am I chosen or am I not chosen? Do I have a choice in that? And we start asking these silly questions. Y'all remember me saying, don't ask silly questions. But right after the sovereignty of God, what's the first thing that Paul displays in chapter 10? I'm praying for people. Why are you praying if they're either they're in or they're not in? Why are you wasting time praying? Yeah, but he said, I'm praying that they may be saved. I'm interceding on their behalf that they might be saved, because for I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Man, you won't find a more, what's another word for zeal? Somebody that's really good with words, tell me another word for zeal. Enthusiasm. Man, these Jews, they have all the enthusiasm in the world. Passion, right? For God, but it's not based on knowledge. There are people that are, sometimes it's kind of funny watching people who get super excited. If you go to a football game with Lana's sister Connie, she gets super, or Lana's mom. Can I pick on them? Is that okay? They're not here, right? Found another person to pick on. Right on. I can remember one time sitting at a football game. Lana was telling me this because I was up in the Crow's Roost taking stats. But I can remember during one of Hunter's football games his senior year, Jewel, my mother-in-law, standing up and starting clapping. Good job, Hunter. And Lana's looking at him going, he just got tackled. Like, well, that wasn't a good job, Mom. You know, and it's like this passion, but not necessarily understanding the game of football, right? And that's what kind of Paul is saying about the Jews. He's like, man, you guys have passion, but it's not founded on knowledge. And what good is passion if it's got nothing to go with it? You know, this morning in class, I have the luxury of teaching middle school. Right, Abby? You're probably, Abby's probably like, man, you need to find someone else. This dude is confusing. But in that class, you see this beautiful picture and this beautiful image of Jesus having this interaction with the Samaritan woman and it being so confusing. And it's because Jesus is talking over here in a spiritual matter, and everything that Jesus is saying, she's translating out into a physical way. It's like, man, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for living water. She goes, how can you even get water? You don't have a bucket. And that's so oftentimes what we do with God. It's like we rah-rah, we cheer, we're so excited about God, and we have no foundation of truth to base it on. So it's just excitement. And does anybody like being around people that are excited? Four people. Man, the rest of y'all need to go hang out with some people who are not excited. Everybody likes being around energy, right? It's infectious, it's contagious. But if that energy takes you nowhere, it's like energy that's just burned off. Right? It's like Connor and Jaden took the boys to the pond and they put them in the pedal boat. They try to wear them out. Right? So that they take good naps. And that's oftentimes what energy or what passion does if it's not founded or rooted in something that's lasting. And as Paul is kind of picking on the Jews a little bit, he's saying zeal. Remember how Paul even describes himself. He describes himself as a Jew of Jews. As to zeal, no one more so than me. As to the law, followed it blamelessly. I had all these check marks, but it wasn't founded in truth. And so as the Samaritan woman and Jesus, as their interaction continues, they get to this place where it's like there's coming a time where you're not going to worship on a mountain or it's not going to be location driven. It's going to be in two concepts, spirit and truth. And I love that because those two concepts merge together. They cannot be separated and be right. I've used the example of a tether. Anybody, young people don't even know what tetherball is. But you older folks know what tetherball is, right? You hit this silly ball and it's tied on a rope and wraps around a pole. Great fun. Who knew you could have so much fun with a ball, pole, and a rope, right? I could think of some other applications of a ball, pole, and a rope, but we're going to stick with tetherball. It doesn't matter how hard you hit that ball. And how fast that ball goes, as long as it's tied to the pole, it's under control. But as soon as that ball comes off the rope, it's out of control. We have to be anchored to something to be in control. God's saying, move as fast as you can, be as passionate as you can, but don't lose sight of truth. It anchors you to me. And so as Paul is saying, listen, he's kind of picking on the Jews, he's saying, listen, I don't think you get this. Like, zeal is fantastic, but if it's got nothing to root itself in, it's just excitement trying to wear yourself out so you can take a good nap. But let's be more passionate about something rather than just taking a good nap. Sorry, my screen went away. For being ignorant of the righteousness, verse 3, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He's saying, listen, they're seeking something, but they're seeking their own righteousness. They're seeking their own way. They're seeking their attempt. How many of y'all have lived this way? Man, it's so hard when you read the scripture and it's so opposing, but it's still we still just kind of function this way. How many of y'all try to live really, really good so that God accepts you? It's backwards. Even though we fundamentally know that that's backwards in our head, it still, we oftentimes, we measure out our worth to God based on our effort to God. And God's saying, listen, my time at Blue Haven, and here's the sad part, I can zero in on that, because honestly, when we're at Blue Haven for 2 weeks and you take phones away, you take parents away, you get a vulnerable teenager who just over the course of 2 weeks at camp, they just find themselves in this place where they're ready to be honest. So it's not that this doesn't apply to adults. We're just better at concealing it. But what I see so oftentimes, and I've heard this, if I could just get these things right, then God. Or man, I know I ought to be baptized and give my life to Christ, but man, I got all these bad things in my life, and if I could just get rid of some of those to where I feel some semblance of worth, then God will accept me. And it's such backwards theology, you're not going to find that in here. I challenged Abby and Madeline this morning, spend some time in the Word. How in the world are you going to ever know who God is if you don't ever read anything about Him? Spend time looking at Scripture and allowing God's Word to wash over you so that you can know who it is He is. Because then it'll better help you understand who you are. And so Paul is kind of driving home this point that's saying, listen, you're trying to reach God no different than the people of Baal were trying to reach Him by building a tower. You're just trying to reach Him by your own efforts, by your own means. You're trying to create this righteousness that has a word in front of it. It's called self-righteousness. When the reality is, the relationship that Christ is begging each of us to have is the relationship that will transform you. You're not going to transform yourself. Sorry. People for generations have been trying to do that and haven't been able to. They were given the law, 613 laws. That was the other thing. I'm going to mention it here. How many of y'all have ever said, God, why didn't you just make it super clear? Give us this, hey, do this, 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 and this, you're in. Everybody wish they had that? Or there's three people. All right, be honest. It's like, man, I wish I just had a list. God, just give me a list. Anybody list takers, makers out there? You just live by a checklist? I don't, all right? I'm like, man, that was probably on the list. I'm glad I did it today. Or that was probably on next week's list. Or we have a thing in our house called HLT. HLT is Hunter and Lana time. All right, Hunter and Lana think that everything can be done in about a fourth of the time it really takes to do it. And so when they make lists, their lists have a lot of stuff on them. Because they think they can get through it all. And so when I told Lana, I think we could finish, put wire on the garden today, she's like, really? I'm like, this is Kevin's time, not HLT, not Hunter and Lana time. Like, I really think we could finish this job. But the reality is we wish that God would just, hey, just give us this. You know, you're going to read a text in here in Romans chapter 10 where it doesn't mention baptism. We like to blow that up, right? And say, well, you don't need to be baptized, or all you have to do is say a sinner's prayer. But God, which one's right? Who's right? You know, I ended class this morning. If you had Jesus standing here right in front of you today, imagine that for a second. If Jesus walked in, all right, think about this for a second. Walked up to the front, said, hello, Bayfield Church of Christ. He probably said something way cooler than that, right? And he said, I'll answer any question you have today. What would you ask? Because Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman. It's kind of what she does. She says, who's right? Us Samaritans worship on the mountain. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Who's right? Would it be a question of who's right? ponder that question. If Jesus walked in here today, what would be your first question? And would it have to do with something of whether you're right or wrong on something? Because oftentimes that's exactly how we're wired. But the reality is, He gave us a path. God gave us a path to reach Him by our own merit. It's called the law. There's 613 of them. A good Pharisee added a bunch to them. They're called hedge laws, to help protect the original law. So they would break down the law of on the Sabbath. They would count the number of steps that you could walk to still be protecting the Sabbath. And that's what we do with the law. If you want to reach God on your own effort, just follow all 613 laws. And then if you feel like you got that wrapped up, then turn to Matthew chapter 5 and read the Sermon on the Mount. And read how if you've done any of those things, even in your mind, you've sinned. Yikes. Anybody want to go that way? So quit trying to do it that way. Quit trying to access God by your own merit, by your own abilities, by your own zeal and passion that's based not on knowledge. Because what knowledge tells me is what chapter 9 tells me, and that is God is sovereign. God's going to finish a work in you. God always finishes what He starts. He always finishes what He starts. He sent His Son, and His Son ultimately sat down. I love that picture of Jesus sitting down at the right hand of God, signifying, my work is done. The path for each of us is done. The victory's won. We read in chapter 9 that death was the last stand, and even that couldn't hold it. How you doing? Are you hungry? Man, I'm kind of working off you here a little bit. When I start seeing you wiggle, I'm going to end this thing. She's told me to keep it short because she didn't get breakfast. So I'm going to try. So what happens when you talk to me before I have a chance to speak. I'll pick on you a little bit. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that a person who does the commands shall live by them. If you want to gain God by living by the commands, here you go. And let them be your judge. If that's the access that you feel like is important for you to access God by being right, doing right, always making the right decision, here you go. Here's all 600 plus of them. Get after it. Still want a list? Because we had one. And all of a sudden, I don't see any hands anymore. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. This is such a heart issue. You know, and it, because of the text, because it forces me to, again, I started with something this morning that said, I believe that God's word is inspired. I believe it works in harmony with itself. This often text gets picked on a little bit because baptism is not mentioned. You know, I've done some deep dives over my life before there was AI and before there was internet. I've used some of that stuff, but way before then on this topic. You know, and those who oppose baptism say it's a work, and you can't do anything to gain your salvation. I agree with that. So how does this work? So how does this work if I can't do anything for salvation because God did it all for me? How does this work? And what? How do I process all of this? I don't know all the right answers to those questions. I can tell you, though, that I'm going to read in Acts 2 and see baptism. I'm going to read in 1 Peter 3:17 and see baptism. I'm going to read in Paul's letter 3 chapters earlier and see baptism. But I'm not going to see that baptism saves you. I'm going to see that God saves you. There's a huge difference in that. So many times people in their lives, I don't care what spectrum you're on, whether you're on, you got to get baptized to be saved, or you have to say this sinner's prayer to be saved, it doesn't matter which side of this equation that you are on. God does the saving. We have got to get our mind around that. That it is God's plan of salvation that saves you, that sets you free. I know a lot of people who've prayed a prayer, and I know a lot of people who've gotten wet who are not saved. Because they treated it exactly how people oppose it as a work. All I have to do is this and I'll be saved. How many of y'all have ever heard that? All I have to do is this and you'll be saved. All I have to do is go get baptized. You'll be saved. All I have to do is say this and I'll be saved. And there's no life of transformation. Because they weren't interested in being transformed into the likeness of Christ. They were interested in being saved. They're not trying to run towards something. They're trying to avoid something. Years ago, my youngest son, never heard him ever give a Devo. Can you imagine that? Because he does a lot of teaching here now, right? He was in high school. And the kids that have been to Blue Haven know that every time your cabin gets a shot at a chapel, right, and a morning Devo, and someone typically in their cabin is going to give that. I've been watching my youngest son for years go to camp and never one time give that. And one morning I walk down because they're having morning Devo and it's his cabin that's in charge. He may have even been a graduate. I don't know. He was older, high school. And I walk down there with my cup of coffee and he's speaking. I'm like, whoa. Never heard him speak before. You know what the message was? I do. It's been at least 10 years. I remember the message. Because it spoke of his heart. And it didn't just speak of his heart. It speaks of all of our hearts. He said, I spent most of my life trying to avoid stuff. Trying to avoid sin. Trying to stay away from sin, trying to avoid things instead of running towards something else. We spent our whole life trying to avoid being sinful instead of running towards what is perfect. You want to know what a transformed life looks like? It's not spending your whole life avoiding stuff. It's spending your whole life running towards something. You will know that they are Christians by their fruit. That's right. Actions, Harvey. Quit spending your whole life pushing something back. Start running towards something. Because if you get him, you get all of it. This isn't a battle that's won in the flesh. Y'all get that? That's why every time Jesus spoke of what, Madeline? Eternal things, right? That's why, all right, I'm going to pick on you too. What's my favorite verse? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Fix your eyes on the unseen, for what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. This is a spiritual thing. This isn't a physical thing. The more we spend our time trying to get things right in the flesh, the more time we're avoiding allowing God to make us right in our spirit. Because if God gets us right in our spirit, the flesh is coming right behind. It's a transformed life. It's a life that doesn't sit there and focus on avoidance. It focuses on something bigger. Does anybody in here want to be a part of something bigger than who you currently are? This is all I am. All 51 years of it. I want to be a part of something so much bigger than this. I'm going to spend my life chasing Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. because he paid the price, not so that I could repay it, not so that I could pull him down from heaven or bring him up from the abyss. It's not so I can do either one of those things. He's already done those things. He's just saying, get on my team, chase me. Understand that this battle is a spiritual battle. It's not in the flesh. Quit spending all your energy and effort trying to avoid things in the flesh and spend all your energy and effort zeroing in on me in the spirit. Because if I get your heart, this is what Romans 10 is saying. If I get your heart, I get all of you. I get your fingers. I get your feet. I get your mind. I get all of you. I don't want all your actions. I want your heart. Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, seems like. Romans chapter 10, first part. We'll finish it up next week. Nine is hungry. But that's just a flesh thing, right? Jesus wants your heart. He doesn't want you to run from something. He doesn't want you to checklist things. He doesn't want you to say, I'm saved because I did this, or I'm saved because I did this. He wants you to understand that it's God that does the saving. Chapter 9. God is sovereign. God saves. Thank goodness for that. Because if I was in charge of saving me, I can't tell you where I'd be this morning. I can't tell you how I'm not a great husband all the time, but I can tell you what kind of husband I'd be without God. I'm not a perfect dad, but I can tell you what kind of dad I would have been without God. Lord knows I'm not a perfect grandpa either, but I can sure tell you what kind of grandpa I'd be without God. Let God do the saving. Allow your life to be transformed by His precious gift of salvation. This morning I want to challenge y'all with that message. I hope it resonates with you. Spend your life chasing instead of avoiding. But if there is anything that we can do for you this morning,